Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Conversation between Manu and Parama, text number 51. Yaha,
Yaha,
Aka,
Aka,
Hindu,
Hindu,
Agni,
Agni,
Indra,
Indra,
Vayunam,
Vayunam,
Yama,
Yama,
Dharma,
Dharma,
Prasetisam,
Prasetisam,
Rupani,
Rupani,
Sane,
Sane,
Adhatse,
Adhatse,
Tasmai,
Tasmai,
Shukraya,
Shukraya,
Te,
Te,
Namaha,
Namaha,
Yokendra Knidra, Indra, Vayunam, Yamadhama Prachetasam
Yamadhama Prachetasam
Rupani Sana Adhatse
Rupani Sana Adhatse
Tasmai Shuklaya Te Namaha
Tasmai Shuklaya Te Namaha
Yokem Vyatragnindra Yavayunam
Yavayunam Vayunam
Yamadhama Prachetasam
Yamadhama Prachetasam
Rupani Stana Adhatse
Rupani Stana Adhatse
Tasmai Shukraya Te Namaha
Tasmai Shukraya Te Namaha
Yokendra Nindra Vayunam
Yokendra Nindra Vayunam
Yamadhama Pachetasa
Yamadhama Pachetasa
Rupani Stana Adhatse
Rupani Stana Adhatse
Tasmai Shukraya Te Namaha You assume, when necessary, the part of the sun god, the moon god, Agni, the god of fire, Indra, the lord of paradise, Vayu, the wind god, Yama, the god of punishment, Nama, the god of piety, and Varuna, the god presiding over the waters. All obeisances to you, who are none other than Lord Vishnu. Translation responsibly. You assume when necessary,
you assume when necessary
the part of the sun god,
the part of the sun god,
the moon god,
the moon god,
Agni, the god of fire, the god of fire,
the god of fire,
Indra,
Indra,
the god of paradise,
the god of paradise,
Vayu,
Vayu,
the wind god,
the wind god,
Yama,
Yama,
the god of punishment,
the god of punishment,
Dharma,
Dharma,
the god of piety,
the god of piety,
and Varuna. God presiding over the waters. All obeisances to you.
All obeisances to you.
Who are none other than Lord Vishnu.
You are none other than Lord Vishnu.
Since the sage Kardama was a Brahmana and Swayambhuva was a Kshatriya, the sage was not supposed to offer obeisances to the king because socially his position was greater than the king's. But he offered his obeisances to Swayambhuva Manu. Because as Manu, king and emperor, he was the representative of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is always worshipable, regardless of whether one is a Brahmana, a Kshatriya or a Shudra. As the representative of the Supreme Lord, The king deserved respectful obeisances from everyone. Om Gyan Tmyon Dasya Yamanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Nidam Yaya Tadasmay Shri Guru Yama Shri Chaitanya Nisham Sadam Yama Utale Sayam Rupa Adam Yam Nasri Sadam Yikam Pande Nam Shri Guru Shri Sita Kamalam Shri Guru Vashnam Chasha Shri Pam Sadjatam Savetam Savutam Kutya Savetam Kushetam Yedevam Jiva Kaya Krishna Satakana Vita Shisha Kankam Sucha He Krishna Kukana Sukhulu Yaman Zubha Kataji Gopesha Goka Antara Kata Namaste Tattakanta Shana Roka Yidhaya Vibhavane Shmari Vrishabha Sudevi surroundings, flowers and plants, trees, animals, all very peaceful. This was the reason for that description we heard about Bindu Sarovar, just to the conclusion being that such a place is very conducive to spiritual realization. Bhagavatam also describes that the element of air is connected to the mind. So therefore it's very beneficial for the mind to be in open spaces and in nature. Therefore I guess we're a little bit lucky in Melbourne, there's quite a few parks around the place. Maybe more so than in some cities of the world. So the mind needs to be nice and peaceful to concentrate on service to Krishna. That's also one feature of this chapter that comes out, that one lesson that we learned, that to be peaceful, then devotees should be well situated, and for most devotees that means one thing that helps is to get married to a suitable person. And then continue on with our Krishna consciousness. So today, Kadam Muni is offering respects to the monarch who's appeared, Swayambhuva Manu. The Bhagavatam describes the monarch to be Sarvadeva Maya. This is a couple of references to that, which means the embodiment of all the demigods. So this was the understanding of the king. The king is embodying all of the demigods, and so we see in today's verse that Kadamuni glorifying Swayambhuva Manu as assuming all these different demigods. And And of course, well, the demigods are part and parcel of representing the Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna. And so the king is the representative of the Supreme Lord. And some similar sentiments from Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th chapter. He's very astonished at seeing the universal form. So Arjuna says, Vayo himogni varuna shishanka prajaptisvam patitama mahascha namo namaste susahasukritva punasya muyo pinamo namaste. Arjuna says to Krishna, you are air and you are the supreme controller. You are fire. You are water and you are the moon. You are Brahma, the first living creature, and you are the great grandfather. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you 1,000 times and again and yet again. So, in Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains that we have six kinds of avatars or incarnations of the Supreme Lord who appear. I could remember five, so maybe you can help me with the last one. The Leela avatars, Guna avatars, Yuga avatars, Manvantaras, and Shaktivesh avatars. And sixth one.
Purusha.
What was that? Purusha avatars, of course, yeah. Vishnu incarnations, yeah. Kalaraksha Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Karnadaksha Vishnu, and Super Soul Shivaraksha Vishnu. So, out of the Shaktivesh avatars, then Prabhupada explains that they're the empowered incarnations of the Lord. And the directly empowered incarnations are like the Kumaras and Narada Muni, Anantashesh. And the indirectly empowered incarnations are the Vibhutis of the Lord, or opulences of the Lord. So these are some of the things we see in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10 and in this verse, that Arjuna is saying that Krishna is air, Krishna is fire, you're water and you're the moon. So like this, these are opulences of the Lord which are indirectly empowered by the Lord. And the next verse, Arjuna says, Nama Purasta Bhata Pristataste Namostate Sabda Eva Sava Anantaviriyam Hita Vikramastam Saram Samap Noshitatosti Sara. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading, and thus you are everything. I like these two verses because I remember when I first got Bhagavad Gita, then, you know, before being a devotee, I was kind of agnostic or something, even atheistic. And then, so I got Bhagavad Gita, and there was the word God a lot, and Krishna is God, and I was a bit skeptical. And, because I had more of an impersonal understanding, and then I kind of remember reading these couple of verses in chapter 11 when Arjuna is just glorifying Krishna, and so he's in the mood of wonder, the rasa of wonder, seeing the universal form, and then so he's just pouring out his sentiments, and so I was like, oh gee, this is pretty convincing, so maybe Krishna is talking. So, you know, Prabhupada says in the purport that out of loving ecstasy for Krishna, his friend Arjuna is offering his respects from all sides. He's accepting that he is the master of all potencies and all prowess and far superior to all the great warriors assembled on the battlefield. It is said in the Vishnu Purana, whoever comes before you, even if he be a demigod, is created by you, is in great ecstasy. We shouldn't think that Bhagavad Gita, there's no rasa, there's no, you know, intimate exchanges between devotees or something. Arjuna is very intimate with devotee. And so this basically explaining that Krishna is the source of all these manifestations of power and material elements and so on, even the demigods, very powerful personalities. Not that anyone believes in them, but you know, nowadays, like, demigods, they stopped coming to yagyas, so no one has a lot of faith in demigods. But the Supreme Lord Krishna is the, in any case, he's the source of them. So it's interesting in this purport that Prabhupada is explaining that, you know, the king, Swami Vivekananda, he's a kshatriya, and Kadama Muni, he's a brahmana. Of course, he's a devotee as well. But so he's this is relating to the Varnashram system, Varnashram Dharma. And so this is the social system for elevating human society. And without, as Prabhupada says, without that social system, then human society is, it's not human society, it's animal society. It's uncivilized. So this is necessary just to regulate human activities and allow people to progress in their Krishna consciousness by living a regulated life and worshipping Krishna. So in that system, then there's a lot of rules and regulations, and it's you know, there's different positions, and the Brahma is the head of society in the spiritual orders. Of course, the sannyasis are the spiritual masters of even the Brahmanas. And in that system, then the kshatriyas should offer respect and worship to the Brahmanas and take guidance from them and give them charity with all their great wealth and resources. But here we're seeing the other way around, that the Brahmana is offering respect to the kshatriya. So therefore it's, because Kadama Muni is a devotee, then he's not bound by the rules and regulations of Varnashram. The devotee will generally, especially less advanced devotees, we should follow the guidelines of Varnashram Dharma, at least the ones that Prabhupada has given us, because it's not possible to actually follow it. And very strictly follow the different rules and regulations for the different orders of life. And but for more advanced devotees like Kadama Muni, and they still follow, but they don't. It's not quite necessary for them. They mostly follow the rules and regulations of Varnashram to set an example for everyone else in society. And so here, seeing that Kadama has gone outside, in the sense of the Varnashram, and he's offering obeisances because he sees that Swami Vivekananda, as Prabhupada says, is a representative of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that anyone, whatever ashram someone is or whatever varna they are, then they can attain perfection by worshipping the Supreme Lord. So this is the point of Varnashram, that everyone should be engaged in their occupation duties and at the same time worship Krishna, and then and thus perfect their lives. So and also as Kadama Muni, he was a great yogi and maybe more advanced than the common person. So as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that he was seeing the Supreme Lord everywhere, or he could recognize the Supreme Lord in karma everywhere, not just in the temple, as the Nephite already does. So Krishna says, Sarvabhuta Atmanam Sarvabhutani Tamani Ikshate Yogi Yuktatma Sarvatra Samdashana. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the Supreme Lord, everywhere. So Kadam is demonstrating this, that he sees Manu is a representative of Krishna and therefore offers him respectful obeisances. Lord Chaitanya, he also famously said that he's not a Brahmana, he's not a Kshatriya, he's not a Vaishya or a Shudra or a Brahmachari or any of these things related to Varnashram. He's simply the servant of the servant of the maintainer of the gopis, Krishna. So therefore, by training ourselves, you know, we can offer respect to people on different, you know, different qualifications that they might have, whether it be age or, you know, level of initiation or years practicing devotional service, etc. And we're training ourselves to not see only externals or what is their social position in Varnashram. I mean, it's practically, we can't tell what people are anyway, you know, because as Bhagavad Gita describes that in Kali Yuga especially, everyone's born a Shudra, everyone is a Varna Shankara. So their Varnas are mixed. We have a bit of Brahmana in us, we have a bit of Shudra, a bit of this, a bit of that. So it's not clear, it's not definite what sort of position people are in according to Varnashram. So therefore, it's not really a reliable way to see who we should be offering respect to. So as devotees, we're trying to see people's level of Krishna consciousness and their spiritual advancement. So this is described in Nectar of Instruction, verse number 5. So, I mean, Nectar of Devotion by Rupa Goswami, then he describes the different classes of devotee, and one of his different you know, measurements or how we can see who is a first class devotee, there's different categories by their faith, by their chanting and so on. And one of the qualifications of a first-class devotee, as Prabhupada writes, is that they are very expert in the study of the relevant scriptures, and they are also very expert in putting forward many arguments in terms of those scriptures. So I immediately thought of this when I started reading verse 5 of Nectar of Instruction, because it's a very long, very extensive purport that Prabhupada gives to this verse of Nectar of Instruction, and he's just quoting countless verses, like I don't know how many, but verses from Bhagavad Gita explaining the different levels of devotee, and some verses from Rupa Goswami, and of course Bhagavad Gita. So it's a very clear example in Prabhupada's purports and all of his writings that this is a first-class devotee and very expert in presenting the conclusions of the Shastra. This is another qualification, that they can nicely present all of the conclusions with perfect discretion and consider the ways of devotional service in a decisive way. So there's no contradictions or nothing's murky or unclear for a first-class devotee. They understand the process of devotional service, everything, in so many aspects and so many areas. You know, when we're just learning about devotional service, we about things, and we see contradictions in the scripture. We think, oh, it says here this, and up there it says that. So how do we understand? And so therefore, Prabhupada established a TBC to sort out matters and come to conclusions based on his writings in a conjoint way. Because it's very, unless you're an acharya, it's very hard to make these decisive conclusions. And it's a nice thing also that Prabhupada says there in Nectar of Devotion, when we're talking about different classes of devotee, and maybe we're just beginning in our devotional service, and we think I'm very, very new, I'm very neophyte, I can't chant very well, and so on. But Prabhupada gives us a very an understanding of how do we get to that level of a first class devotee. And he says that the first class devotee is one who has strictly followed the rules and regulations under the training of a bona fide spiritual master and has sincerely obeyed him in accord with revealed scriptures. So therefore we can see that many devotees fall into this category in ISKCON, that whether they're devotees of disciples of Prabhupada or disciples of Prabhupada's disciples, then they've been very serious about their training under their spiritual master, and so they've become very expert in understanding of the scriptures, and they've become first class devotees who can give a lot of guidance to devotees in general. So this is nice that Prabhupada, he never said, you can never become elevated. He never said like that. He said, there is a process, you just have to follow it. And very strictly and very patiently, with a lot of faith, like that. So, it's the same nectar of instruction. The fifth verse describing how we can respect the different classes of devotee, because we can't judge on their vana or something like that. You have to see what is their devotional service. Even if Prabhupada gives a nice example in this purport, that even if they're not maybe initiated, or he gives the example of George Harrison, that he's George Harrison was chanting and very liked to chant, and therefore Prabhupada said he offered him all respects and like that. So whether someone is initiated or not, or in ISKCON or not, you have to see what is their level of God consciousness. They might be following another tradition, and we can see the qualities of a devotee are common. They'll manifest in anyone if they're worshipping the Lord according to, hearing and chanting the nine processes of devotional service. So, in this verse of Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada begins by saying that in order to intelligently apply the sixfold loving reciprocations mentioned in the previous verse, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. So Rupa Goswami therefore advises that we should meet with the Vaishnavas in an appropriate way according to their particular status. So this is Rupa Goswami wanted us to do this, to reciprocate with devotees. Who knows the verse from the previous verse of Nectar of Instruction, text 4, about loving exchanges, six loving exchanges with devotees. Yes. So, I'm relying now on the president. Yeah, so these loving exchanges with devotees offering gifts in charity, accepting gifts, revealing our mind and hearing from others and offering prasadam and accepting prasadam, then we need to know how to do those with different types of devotees. You won't just kind of have a casual conversation about your devotional service with your spiritual master or even with a junior. So you have a different, the way that we reveal our mind will be different with a junior or an equal or a senior. So like that, then we learn how to have loving exchanges with everyone, but in an appropriate way. And so Prabhupada explains that we should not remain Kanishta Adhikaris who on the lowest platform of devotional service and only recognize Krishna in the temple. Third class devotee needs to act as a second class devotee to come to that platform. Even if we're not Majjhima Adhikaris, but we can practice acting on that level by worshipping Krishna, making friends with devotees, avoiding envious, and giving Krishna to others. So we become attached to Krishna, Prabhupada explains in this purport, quoting Jiva Goswami, in the Bhakti Sandarbha, that by Diksha, one gradually becomes disinterested in material enjoyment and gradually becomes interested in spiritual life. So this is, this is the path of devotional service, how to become attached to Krishna. Is qualify ourselves to take initiation from a spiritual master and attach ourselves to another devotee who is themselves develops their own attachment to Krishna. And in this way, receive their blessings and their mercy. So to accept a spiritual master, we need to be, Prabhupada says, we need to be prepared to, disregard material enjoyment. So Prabhupada writes that when a person is serious about accepting diksha, he must be prepared to practice austerity, celibacy, and control of the mind and body. If one is so prepared and is desirous of receiving spiritual enlightenment, Divya Gyan, he is fit for being initiated. Divya Gyanam is technically called Tadvijnana, or knowledge about the Supreme. Tadvijnanatam sa gurum eva vigachet. When one is interested in the transcendental subject matter of the absolute truth, he should be initiated. So he also writes that one should not accept a spiritual master without following his instructions. As you know, that's one of the offences in chanting the holy name, to disobey the spiritual master's instructions. Nor should one accept a spiritual master just to make a fashionable show of spiritual life. One must be jignasu, very much inquisitive to learn from the bona fide spiritual master. The inquiries one makes should strictly pertain to transcendental science. Spiritual advancement in this age, is chanting of the holy name. So Prabhupada very nicely emphasizes this point that we develop our faith by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. He says that one should know for certain that without chanting the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one cannot be a proper candidate for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Everyone begins his devotional life in the Nephite stage, but if one properly finishes chanting the prescribed number of rounds of Honam, he is elevated step by step to the highest platform, Ultima Adhikari. The Krishna Consciousness Movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods of chanting on the East. I guess we've all had some experience of that. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he's considered fallen, patita. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. So this is very nice. You know, we're chanting 16 rounds and it's very hard for us. And sometimes we think, yeah, I'm a good devotee, I'm chanting 16 rounds, but Prabhupada's guru said, no, you're fallen. If you're not chanting 64 rounds a day, something like 8 hours a day chanting, then he considered us fallen. But fortunately, you know, we have the extreme good fortune of coming in contact with a representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, he, Prabhupada has extended Lord Chaitanya's mercy very, very widely, and even reduced the prescribed chanting from 64 to 16. And still we struggle sometimes. And so, you know, if devotees can just become, you know, just focus on being very fixed up in this regular principle, chanting 16 rounds without fail every day, you know, organizing their lives in such a way that that's possible, maybe so that they can rise early and do that, then they will automatically become advanced in devotional service and achieve the blessings of Prabhupada and the Parampara. So this is, you know, this is the whole essence of our spiritual life. It's not that we can become great devotees by the strength of our, you know, strength of our whatever, strength of our skills and austerity or talents or anything like that. But it's only by becoming very faithful servants of Prabhupada and our spiritual master that we can have some hope of achieving Krishna's mercy. And, so the point is, you know, the first class devotee, as a one of their features of them or characteristics, is that they're very expert in the Shastra. So this is also giving us some indication how we can advance in devotional service is by studying the Shastra and gaining a very clear understanding of the process of devotional service, you know, understanding different leaders, what they're teaching us, and different principles from Gita and Bhagavatam and so on. So we study, you know, for our personal benefit, which is good, and then it really helps to, if we're giving classes and studying to give classes, then that helps our understanding a lot. There's a lot of cross-referencing that can happen, and then, you know, developing and solidifying our understanding this way. So this is Prabhupada's instruction also, that we should chant and also study his books. Instruction that unless one faces faithfully chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna does not reveal himself. We cannot realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by any artificial means. We must engage faithfully in the service of the Lord. Such service begins with the tongue, which means that we should always chant the holy names of the Lord and accept Krishna Prasad. We should not chant or accept anything else. When this process is faithfully followed, the Supreme Lord reveals himself to the devotee. So, yeah, by reading Prabhupada's books, we understand what is the process of devotional service, and we need to build our faith so that we can follow that unreservedly. We have no doubts that what is the goal of life and what is the process to achieve it. And sometimes we do have doubts. We get affected by Maya, and but you know, if we develop our faith more, then we can overcome these obstacles of Maya and continue practicing strongly. So that, I didn't actually read that translation of verse 5. But Rupa Goswami says that one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So, any devotee who's chanting Hare Krishna, and whoever they may be, then we offer respectful obeisances, at least in our mind. And then we also need to see what else they're following in devotional service, and whether we should gain more of their association or just leave it respecting them within the mind, maybe from a distance. So this is some things we can learn from today's verse, that Swami Rupa Manu's offering respectful obeisances to Kadam Muni offering obeisances to Manu as a representative of the Supreme Lord. We need to be train ourselves to recognize who is the representative of Krishna and to what degree are they representing Krishna. And that's shown by how well they're following the orders of their spiritual master and their parampara. And then try to get their association more. And become more advanced in our spiritual life by being very expert at recognizing who's good association to have. And this is how we progress to the 9 stages of bhakti, is just by association with devotees. So we have to see who's the best devotees that I can get association with, and hang on to that and take it as my shelter. Take the association of devotees as our shelter from material energy and for making advancement. So I'll stop here and see if there's any comments or questions. Thank you very much. Pantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Nitai Gaurakamani.